a sermon on the transfiguration of Jesus, Luke chapter 9, verses 8 through 43. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter, John, and James, and went up the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he had said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent. And in those days, not one of them said any of the things they had seen. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May the love, grace, and peace of the triune God transfigure you on this day and on all the days to come. Well, this is Transfiguration Sunday, my friends. We're in a transition between the ordinary time of Epiphany and the reflective time of Lent. You might have noticed that we even changed the pyramid color from green to white as a representation of this special day. Although Hallmark has not yet made a card for it. Not yet. Here we have a high liturgical holiday smack dab in the middle of ordinary time. Kind of like this gospel message today, this transfiguration up on the mountain is smack dab in the middle of something else already going on. And then wham, Jesus is glowing. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been listening to the stories of Jesus' ministry on earth and the journey he took as he was learning what it was to be Christ as a man walking amongst us. These were times of great honor where his wisdom was recognized, and times of great discouragement when he wasn't even welcome in his own hometown. This is Jesus with the sand between his toes. And now this. We have today a theological midpoint in the gospel storyline. The scripture says in verse 29, "And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white." I have to laugh a bit here because when I imagine this scene, I can't help but see Peter, James, and John's face in reaction to what is happening to Jesus. And maybe he responded, meaning he, Jesus, to their reactions like, "Dude, am I glowing?" Maybe even thinking such a thing as heresy. But you know me. I like to put things into perspective when talking about the gospel and its message. Somehow putting real people into the story, putting their real lives into the story, putting myself into their shoes allows the message to open up a bit more. I mean, I can imagine why the guys wanted to build a shrine in that place. For goodness sakes, this was an important happening. They wanted to mark the moment, to save it for all time, maybe even to be able to return to it, to bring their families and friends to retell the story. Isn't that what we all do anyways, when we want to capture something forever? Don't we often whip out our phones and snap a picture and then quickly upload it to Instagram or Facebook or group text it to our favorite friends to instantly memorialize for ourselves and for others? Hey, this just happened. Pretty awesome, huh? Because this is a big deal. right? You can't blame them for seeing it as a big deal. I mean, how many times in your life are you going to go up a mountain praying with Jesus and he starts glowing? And then Moses and Elijah show up and God appears in a cloud and commands you to listen? The disciples don't want to lose this moment. They might even felt like if they didn't build something or have something concrete, the experience would somehow be lost. And how does that apply to you? As we look at this gospel message today, and think about this amazing experience, how does it apply to you? See, I think that the disciples, like many of us, are a bit caught up in the professing of their faith and have not fully realized the power that comes from living their faith. Living faith reveals its depth and breadth. It is the fertile ground of spiritual faith formation. It's like they don't have the bandwidth almost to really understand the message that Jesus had been pointing them to all this time. This is where I also imagine that God has a bit of a sense of humor too. Because even there on the mountain with Jesus all glowing and Moses and Elijah telling them things, they didn't see. So God had to come down in that cloud and slap them upside the head, in a sense, right? To tell the message that we hear in verse 35. This is my son. Remember, we've heard that before at the baptism of Jesus. Except this time we have a command from God. Listen to him. What? Can it really be that simple? We have to just listen? Listening maybe with our whole face. That's what I often told my students, and I still tell my daughter to this day when she's not really paying attention. To listen with your whole face is a different activity. See, we're moving from this season of Epiphany into this season of Lent. And so it's a movement from the manifestation of Christ in the world and the stories around that, right? His earthly ministry, to a place where everything points toward Jerusalem, and ultimately to the cross. It is a time, brothers and sisters, that we must start reckoning ourselves with the cross and with the sacrifice that Jesus will make there on our behalf. It is a time to listen, and it is a time to be present with Jesus. But this reckoning with the cross isn't easy work, but it's good work. It's heart and spirit work. We just need to be still in order to do most of it. So this Wednesday, which will be Ash Wednesday, when you come to the evening worship service, I will remind you when I place ashes on your forehead that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Our mortality is going to be marked right on our foreheads. And we will be carried into the season of reflection and consideration of what it means to stand before a God who loves us, even to the point that he puts his own son up on a cross to die for us. So our movement through Lent this year will be steeped in learning how to bring contemplation into our spiritual practices, both individually and collectively. We will spend more time being still, being present, and yes, listening. Listening to the inside self and the loud silence of God's loving voice that moves through everything and always. This is the piece that I think the disciples were missing on that day on the mountain. They missed the larger message. So if we were to be so bold as to offer them a more panoramic perspective, maybe then they could see the entire experience was to remind them of God's presence in their lives, there with them. This was not a single moment to capture, something that if you didn't capture, it would be lost. No, rather it was a reminder of how God works in the world, of how God is present in daily life, the very breathing in and out of all creation. We see through Christ not only the work that is to be done as his disciples, but we see the grace and love that comes from the God who sent him to us. As we move into this season of Lent, as our focus changes, as the rhythm of the very liturgy we practice here changes, as our proclamation changes to the journey to Jerusalem, we have this opportunity for reflection, for intentional way-making, for growth in our understanding of how God's promise lives in our daily lives. We even have a chance to learn to be silent, to be still, to be present, to hear each other and hear God, maybe for the first time. See, this isn't a time to be building shrines. It is a time to be terrified in the cloud. It isn't a time to proclaim the law and prophets, but it is a time to proclaim the law and prophets fulfilled. It's a time to see that God's glory comes to us through Christ, who today is transfigured before us. Thanks be to God. Amen.